family.
Good morning.
Let's try it again. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
And you know what we do? This is just a warning to say it's not time to take a nap. Okay, this is the time for us to be very awake. And it's one time a week that we have opportunity to talk together and to study the Word of God. So let's stay very, very much awake. All right? Here is the patience of the saints. Who are the saints? Very good, Brother Jet. We, the saints. What is the saint? What the word saint means?
Saint means the sinner.
No.
But he becomes
saints. Yeah. Saints means somebody who God sanctifies. Somebody God calls into ownership. It is equivalent to holy. Sometimes we don't feel very comfortable to approach ourselves as holy because we think that that's too much. But holiness is not about something that you do. It's to whom you belong. So take in that approach. What you think about holiness says, I'm holy because he claims me to be his. And everything that belongs to a holy God, it is holy. God cannot attain or hold anything that is not holy.
Amen.
That's why the real, I like this song very much, brother. I think that for some reason the Holy Spirit told you that this was the song that you should sing today. Because it's perfectly with the subject that we intend to cover. So when we say we are saint, it's not that we are claiming to be like somebody's going to make an image of us and put it in a corner here, and people will start coming kneel before your image, and that is not a kind of saint we're talking about. Saint is, again, I'm going to repeat, is when God claims you as his.
Amen.
So please don't be shy about being a saint.
Amen.
Because if you're not a saint, you're not going to be where God is. And where God is, there is eternal life. So we need to have that in mind. It says, why are they saints? What qualifies them as a saint? Because they follow God's will.
Amen.
And they have a personal relationship with Christ. And that's what makes us a saint. What makes us a saint is the distinction that we surrender our will to God's will. And we have a faith in Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ. Revelation 14:12, it should be very well marked in your Bible. You should look to that a few times a year, maybe once a month, maybe once a week. But look in this and contemplate. That is the goal that you have, to be a saint, to keep God's will. So the topic for today, I was thinking what would be the best way to name this. I tried to make it more intriguing, but finally, I said, I'm going to go with the obvious, the missing coin. You have me read about this parable in the Bible many times. You probably have heard people preaching. But today, we're going to use an approach that I have not read anywhere, and I have never heard anybody have this approach. So I hope that you understand why our purpose, the missing coin. What is the missing coin? That will be the question. The figure of a woman is one of the most important symbols in the Bible. You know, it puts the whole picture together, the whole scriptures. It manifests its historical and also prophetical and biblical way about the woman. It is very fascinating. It says here, symbols. When we think about symbols, if you had an apple with a bite on the screen, what will come to your mind? iPhone, iPad, I. And by the way, when you bite, it hurts. So if you had one circle, and there's two tiers, one black and one white. So the yin and yang, you know. Yeah, we will be preaching about that, a dualism. We are preparing a message to speak about dualism, how that has affected not only the past, but is affecting the church today. This approach that God is both good and evil, that good and evil is a necessary, it happens. So we will be talking about this. We are preparing a message to talk about this. But today, the symbolism. The woman is referred to in the Bible sometimes as a city. Jerusalem is referred as a woman. Also a nation, Israel, is referred as a woman. The church is very common. We understand that. The wicked woman, the wicked church, the spiritual Babylon, the Bible refers to as Jezebel, the daughters of Babylon. We don't talk a lot about the daughters of Babylon. Some people don't like to be part of Babylon, but they don't care. They don't mind to be part of the daughters of Babylon. And they don't realize that they are in Babylon. The bride of Christ. And of course, the remnant. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and please be very patient with me here. Are you a Protestant?
No.
You see the confusion? Some people say yes, some people say no. Be careful what you label yourself, because sometimes we label ourselves to something that because everybody else is saying. And we don't realize by the implication of that title. A Protestant is the daughters of Babylon as far as doctrine. Okay, I'm not talking about individuals, I'm talking about systems. I'd rather be a remnant than a Protestant. Because when you protest about something, it's because you are part of something that you are not, you don't like it. The remnant has never been a Protestant and never be a Protestant. The remnant is just the people of God. The remnant started in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were the first Seventh-day Adventists. And I know that some of you may belong to another denomination and may not feel very comfortable that I'm using the title, the denominational title. But when I say Seventh-day Adventist, what I mean is not the denomination. What I mean is a biblical church, a biblical belief. Okay? Amen. So that's what I mean. So don't take, if you are from a different, if you belong to a different church, a different denomination, I'm not here to speak about denomination. I'm here about to speak about the remnant. Have you ever seen or heard about this lady? She's riding a beast. The beast is carrying her all over the place. She has a cup in her front. It says that the blood of the saints. Some relative of yours. Some relative of mine. Had been killed. The remnant, the blood of the remnant, is what she is holding. She is riding the beast, Satan himself. She is riding this power that gave her power, because she goes and have an illicit relationship with all the kings and governors of the world, and that's how she gets power. I saw her going to China. I saw her embracing socialism, communism, and she is doing this in a very, very typical of her, and she is doing. And her daughters are falling just behind. Yes, that is Babylon. You notice how much she likes to put things upon herself? Those are reflection that is all about her. Yes, that is. And I put this picture together because that is true. That's exactly what the Bible says. If you want to read more, you can go to Revelation 17 and see about this woman. Symbols, woman as a church. I went on my research on Google, of course, and I put this just the way you see here in the bottom. Symbols, comma, woman as a church. Write this down. If you go home, you can Google this and you'll see what happens. This is what it says. If you put symbols, comma, woman as a church. I put exactly the way I got there. This is a quote direct from In biblical scripture, a woman is frequently used to symbolize the church, representing God's covenant people, the saints, the bride of Christ, or when depicted as unfaithful, one apostate church. And then it gives Revelation and Ephesians talk about the bride of Christ, okay? But I did something else. Before, let me finish this. It says here the second part. The woman in Revelation 12, 1 to 17, symbolized the true church of God, characterized by its purity, suffering, and divine protection while fleeing from persecution. Read this again. Pay attention to this text because this is in relation to the next thing that we're going to show you. The woman in Revelation 12 symbolized the church of God. Okay? This is not written by a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, I took the comma out of the title. So I put just symbols, woman as a church. And this is what the internet gave me. In the Bible, a woman often represents a church. The woman in Revelation 12 symbolizes the true church of God. Read it with me, please. The woman in Revelation 12 symbolizes the true church of God. And who is that church? A Protestant? And the remnant mentioned in Revelation 12, 17. Are you ready for a shock? Is identified as
the Seventh-day Adventist.
That's what I said. I said, is that? Said I tried to check the sources and maybe this was said by some Seventh-day Adventist and Google just picked it up and put it here. I was shocked that when I put those symbols without a comma, woman as, this is what it came up. And I wonder if somebody else came up. So I did another search. I like to say, how many pastors have left of the denomination and joined the Seventh-day Adventist? And I was shocked by a long list of people from so many denominations, pastors, that have found the coin, the missing coin, and decided, I want to be part of a church who has 10 coins, not only 9. Do you know where I'm going with this? I'm trying to define to you another approach, another view, a unique view about those coins. What were those coins all about? So it's our application that today as a symbolism, we're going to say those coins are the coins that God planted in the heart of every single person when we are born. A coin that shows that who is the groom and who is the bride. Again, in the Bible, a woman often represents a church. Remember the previous? It says the church of God. And now the second, this one, let me go back. I want you to see. Look at this. A woman in Revelation 12, 1 to 17, symbolized the true church of God. And now you come here, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You follow?
Yes.
Now, Jesus presented in Luke, is written in Luke, three parables. I like to think that they are not three parables. I like to think that they are one parable with three different aspects. The shepherd, the good shepherd, then the woman, which is the church, and then the father. So they are basically talk about how to find what is lost. The shepherd wants to find the sheep, but the church has to find the missing coin. Suppose a woman has 10, and I emphasize 10 because my connection here, my illustration is that 10, I'm talking about this as symbolic for the Ten Commandments. Silver coins, but loses one. Did the church lose this one coin? Why? Sometimes not our fault of our own. Because remember we read before, the dragon went after the woman, the remnant, and persecuted. And almost erased that coin. Do you know what coin I'm going to talk about? The fourth coin. And almost erased. So dust, persecution, all the things came into the windows. And sometimes it could be that some churches were careless. They went to Rome and let Rome come into them. And the church, from a Christian church, it became a Roman church. Now Rome started claiming ownership of the church. Instead of being a Christian church, it became a Roman church. And by the way, I used to be a Roman Catholic. I had some thoughts about becoming a priest. I didn't like the idea that we could not have a family. So that drove me away from that thought. But it is very important for you to understand that when I say those things, because I have been there, I attend catechism. I really learn all the teachings, the prayers. I pray the rosary every single day. And you see a kid, 11 years old, that is reading, praying the rosary every day, something's wrong with that kid. And that was me. Every single day I had the rosary, and I did that. My grandmother told me, before you play, you pray. And so that was her rule, and I followed. Now, interesting enough, when I was 11, I was taken to the capital of my state because they were going to take me to an orphanage. But before they took me to an orphanage, I spent some time with my aunt, and she has this apartment in downtown. And I told you, some of you already heard this story, so here comes a repetition. So they took me to this church. It was a Seventh-day Adventist church. They took me to the department for kids according to my age. And there was this teacher, very enthusiastic, and she showed a picture. In those days, we didn't have a computer, it was all in felt. And the Ten Commandments, the coins, the Ten Commandments there. And she started reading, the first commandment is this, the second is this, the third. And I said, you're wrong. And she says, I got up and I tried to get out. She tried to block me. I went under her arm. And I got, and she yelled for the deacons to get that kid. And I saw this, like, police officer there. You know, the deacons tried to get me. I went around, and I run to the street. They tried to run after me in the street, but I look back, they were all disappeared. And I run. I had no idea what I was running to. This is the capital of my state, one of the 30th largest city in Brazil. Is huge. And I run, and I run, and I run. I cross the street. I did so many things. And finally, I stop. And then I came to my senses. What in the world are you doing? Where are you? What are you running from? Why are you running? Now what? And I put my back against the wall, and people like ants, oh, so many, back and forth. And I start to, fear start coming to my heart, because now reality, I am lost. I run from the Ten Commandments because they were not the way I was taught. And I run, and now I have no clue where I was. And in my Catholic way, I said, Lord, help me because I am in trouble. And then I look up to the building right in front of me. And that building looks familiar. It looks familiar. But there was something strange about that building. So I need to cross the street to look the other way. So I crossed the street, and there I realized that that building is where my aunt lived. So I went back, I sat down, and I waited for her. Oh, I thought she was going to be furious. She came, and she, a very good Seventh-day Adventist, she behaved like a good one. She didn't show any anger, but I could see in her eyes that she was, wow, what happened? What could have happened to you? And they decided to take me to the orphanage a little earlier than it was scheduled. So I went to the orphanage. So the story that I'd like to say to you here is this. Sometimes we run from the truth, and all that we allow ourselves to do is to get in more and more trouble. We needed to go back. We need to have 10 coins. 9 will not do. And here, and when she finds it, she will call her friends. By the way, the remnant has always, if you read the story, not only the Seventh-day Adventist organization, but if you read the story of the remnant, you see that throughout the time, every time there was a revival, it was brought up the truth, and a lot of people have accepted the truth, and some people have rejected. I have shared with you a long time ago, more than, I don't know how many years ago, one pastor that became very well known among the Seventh-day Adventists, a Baptist pastor who was reading, somebody gave him from one of the parents of his school, gave him a book, Twice Removed, you know, by the 3ABN. And he read, and then he shared with his wife, and finally he decided he finally found the missing coin. He said, I have been a Baptist, a very faithful Baptist for 56 years. His first name, his name Reggie. And he said, for 56 years, I have studied the Bible, almost memorized the whole Bible, but I never saw it until now. And I did a research to see how he is doing and everything else. And he's still keeping the Sabbath. He's still observing the Sabbath. And he's still faithful as he found this. And not only that, but he went back to his church and told his church, look, I found. If you don't want to follow me, that's fine. But if you follow me, rejoice with me. And the whole congregation accept the Sabbath as well. And he did say in his testimony, says, no more shrimp. No more catfish. And it's very funny to listen to him with the Alabama kind of accent. It's very, he is very, very powerful the way he addressed. But I listened to this a few times. It's very enjoyable. You can find his testimony on YouTube. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and say to them, be happy with me because I found the fourth commandment. I found this beautiful thing about the Sabbath. I found this commandment that tells me who I am and why I was created. I found Abba. Amen. I am no longer, you know, an orphan. I have a father. So that's what it means to find that lost coin. Jesus continues saying, and here is the woman showing the coin that she found. So you want to like count with me? 1. Or supposed to be 2, right? Yeah. She's holding 1. So that's 2. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10. 10. 10, not 9. 9 won't do it. All right? Romans 2, verse 14 and 15. Please mark this in your Bible analyze this, because this is very important, because this verse alone, those two verses alone, can influence a lot of your understanding about human nature. You hear the daughters of Babylon teaching that we are doomed, we are born sinners, and we cannot help ourselves. A defeated approach. Many people believe that. They believe, I cannot help myself, I'm just human. No, you're just a weak, and you find excuse to continue to be weak. Here, this verse shows this. Even Gentiles, that means us, who do not have God's written law, you know, before we even knew that it was even the 10 coins, we thought. It says, show that they know His law when they, how? By instinct. Do you know what I mean when somebody do something by instinct? Means that is already written in their DNA. We are born, and I'm going to repeat this, every human being are born to worship and to fellowship. Amen. Those two things is not possible for a human being to be normal without doing those two things, worship and fellowship. Now, guess what? That makes the 10 coins. Five side apart of one table, the first portion of the Ten Commandments, and then the second, our relationship with God, our relationship with humans. Very clear, by instinct. So we worship and we fellowship by instinct. We obey it, even without having heard of it. This is very crucial. And then it says this, verse 15. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts. That's what it means by instinct. We are all born to be holy. We are all born to be eternal. The Bible does say this in Ecclesiastes. Everything that God does is forever. You were created to be forever. If you interrupt forever, it's your doing. God will not ever interrupt the forever. That is right beside your name. When you were created, right beside your name, there is a forever. You are Mrs. Forever. You are Brother Forever. That is part of your DNA. God created you to be forever. It says it's written in your heart, for their own conscience and thoughts, either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. Right and wrong is all here. But what happens? Satan digs dirt and try to cover those coins. And sometimes Satan succeeds. There are people sometimes that they don't know they're supposed to have 10 coins. They walk around saying, I have 10. But when they count, oops, there is one missing. Now tell me one thing. If I go to the store, and I need $2.50. And I have, how many coins do I need to have quarters? How many quarters do I have in order to have $2.50? 10, right? That's so obvious. 10. But what about if I get to the store and I need $2.50? But I have one quarter missing. So I know a secret. You call the clerk and tell them, would you please count those coins? And they count. They say, there's 9. You need one more. Do you have some kind of equipment here that I can cut one in two to make it $2.50? Are you laughing? But if you read the catechism, that's what the Roman church did. When they decide that they have to take some of the 10, and they say, but we still need to tell everybody we still have 10. So what are we going to do? Let's cut 1.5. We laugh, but this is diabolical and has changed the whole world. Not only the Roman church have accepted this ridiculous concept that if you divide one by two, in two, that you still have the 10. But the daughters, her daughters, are doing exactly the same thing. With gusto, with devotion. They are worshiping on Sunday. Do you know why? Because Mother Babylon said so. I know that some of you may think that I'm a little bit harsh in the way I'm saying, but no apologies from here. That's the way it has to be. If it hurts, it's because the Holy Spirit is working on you. Amen. If that disappoints you, believe me, there is nothing better than to have eternal life. So adjust your thinking and let the Holy Spirit mold your mind, because you were born to be eternal. Don't let anything, not the Roman church, not her daughters, not anybody, to deviate you from the purpose why God created you. God, before you were even conceived, God already had a special chair at his table in heaven reserved with your name. That chair cannot be empty. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you need to be that coin in the right place. It says in Ezekiel 20, verse 12, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths." Who is them?
God.
We, the saints. "Moreover, I also gave the church, the woman with the 10 coins, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them, who makes them saints, who makes them holy." Why is the Sabbath a sign? Because the Sabbath is the one who identifies us as his creation. You can see all the other commandments. None of them are so specific about the relationship between the Creator and us, his creatures, than the Sabbath. You move the Sabbath out, the Ten Commandments becomes almost like a normal set of rules, but not a reflection of God's character. So please mark this also in your Bible. This is a verse that you should share with other people. Jesus Christ saying this, their worship is what?
Worthless.
Who is Jesus talking about? He's talking about a church. A church who has 9 coins. Jesus is describing a church who has 9 coins. Says their worship, and King James says, is in vain. Worthless. It says, the things they teach are nothing but human rules. You have stopped following the commandments of God and you follow only human teachings. You took a coin and was missing one coin, so you divide, try to cut and make your human way. It doesn't work that way. Mark, very easy to remember, Mark 7:7. It's talking about the 7, the coin. There's a commandment that God gives to all of us, to the remnant church. The remnant church is to go to all the peoples everywhere, to all nations, and make disciples, but not make members of the church. Make disciples. Do you know the difference between a person who just become a member and the person who become a disciple? A person who become a disciple becomes also a shepherd. A person who is saved look to save. A person who is lost does not preoccupy too much about those that are saved, but a saved look to save. It says, my disciples, baptize them in a name. And here's the problem. Sometimes people have been, I don't know if some of you heard this, but I hope if you hear, take action. There are people sometimes among us that say, oh, Trinity is pagan. We should not believe in a Trinity. Even sometimes try to infiltrate that idea among us. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here comes the part that most church misses. is very convenient. Look what it says. And teach them to obey 9 of the commandments. Maybe 8.5. Tell them not to eat the pork, but they can eat the shrimp. Tell them to compromise. No, I don't see any compromise here. It says, do you know, English is my second language, or third, or anyway. But everybody understands what everything means, right? Yes. I think it's as clear as it can be.
Yes.
And teach them to obey everything. What about 99.999%? I would like to ask you, if in a judgment time, a judge look at you and says, you are 99.999% saved. What you means is, you are 100% lost. There is no such thing as almost there. When you are almost there, you are not there. Everything means everything, brothers and sisters. Everything. The Bible is not the New Testament. And by the way, I don't like to refer to the first part of the Bible as Old Testament, because the daughters of Babylon is following the example of Babylon, is saying that Old Testament is just for the Jewish people. And that includes the Sabbath, that includes the Ten Commandments and everything else. But then if you broke into their house, they call the police. But they say, why you call the police? You said there is no more laws. There's no more rules. When the church that represents God tell the congregation, tell the world, you don't need to obey the law, what kind of message they are sending? We have seen people from the pulpit teaching anarchy, because no human beings can live without law. Law is part of our nature. It's impossible for us not to live with the law. Obedience should not be an obligation. Obedience should be something natural. I obey God because I am His child, not because I want to become His child. Anybody who approaches obedience with the intent to earn something is just foolishness. Do you remember that young, rich individual that approached Jesus Christ? He has a card that showed that he attend church every single Sabbath. He have another card that shows that he returned tithe. He had another card that says, I do this all. I was part of the Pathfinders. I was part of, I had an office in the church. And Jesus says, wonderful. All those things are good. Now there's one thing. Take all that stuff that's taking you from concentrating focus in eternal life. Get rid of this. Use that to be a blessing to others, because right now you use that all to be a blessing only to yourself. Use that fortune to be a blessing to others, and then follow me. Amen. If that young man had listened to that invitation, I can almost with certainty, we would know his name. His name would be in the Bible. Not only that, but I have a suspicion, because he was such a highly educated individual, he probably would have written one of the Gospels. But who is he? We have no idea. Why? Because he walked away, because the Bible says he was very rich. No, I think he was miserable. Because when you walk away from the most precious gift that anybody can have, which is eternal life, then everything else is meaningless. If you have $1 billion but you're dead, how much do you have? A billion bugs eating you. That's all you have. All that you have is only worth if you are living. Because if you are not living, what you have is nothing. So practice living, and everything else is added to it. Living is our goal. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. Why is Jesus saying, I'll be with you? Because those that wants to be with him, he will be. You know, good cannot be where evil is. Evil cannot be where good is. Darkness and light cannot be together. So God said, because you obey everything, that means you are one of my kind. So whatever you are, I am there too. It's very clear, brothers and sisters. I tried to put this picture together. Let me try to define to you here. Now, on the back of the church, you know what that is, right? The Ten Coins. Okay? The Ten Commandments. Now, the church is where? On the top of the Word. The Word is the foundation. Do you know what made me a Seventh-day Adventist? Our loyalty to the Word. Amen. Our first doctrine, if you look at the group of doctrines, our first doctrine is the Bible. That is basic. Without the Bible, no other teachings have any meaning. The Bible is the Word of God, and everything we believe must be according to the Bible. So that's why that church is on top of the Bible. Now, I put here, I don't know if you know what this is. This is a place ready for harvest. That's what I mean. So the whole picture, the whole purpose of the picture is to show you that a church has to be, the remnant has to be on the Bible, has to have the law of God as the back, and has to have in front of them the field to harvest. That is what the whole picture is. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Would you say with me, everything.
Everything.
Everything. Do you have 10 coins?
Yes.
Or there is one that's missing? Have you double checked? 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, New Living Translation. If someone claims, I know God, but does not obey God's commandments, all 10, okay? That person is a liar. Jesus Christ called somebody a liar. What did he call a liar? The religious leaders that was not following God, but follow Satan. He says, Satan is the liar from the beginning, and you are his kids. He says, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. And I capitalize the word truth because the Bible says also that Jesus is the truth. The Word is the truth. And so the truth here means also the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now continue. If you obey every law except one, what happens? But you can say, Lord, I kept 9. Doesn't count. At least I did the most of it. You are still guilty of breaking them all. Write this in your Bible, please. This is essential when you give Bible studies. Those texts are very essential for you to have them. Here, I made this picture up too. The globe, our house, the world there, the earth is our house. The three angels' message come also from the church. The church is on the Bible. This is the picture of the real church. But this text in the Bible, and I believe me, all the daughters of Babylon wish that this text would not be in the Bible. Because those texts here talks directly to them as an appeal. Not everyone who calls themselves, call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only, and you know what the word only means, right? Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. No compromise. Only those. And then he goes by saying this. On judgment day, what day?
On judgment day.
And what is judgment day? The last time that you're in or out, many will say to me, oh, Lord, Lord, we prophesy in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and perform many miracles in your name. Oh, we had a church that had more than 10,000 people in attendance. We are on television in more than 100 different channels every week. And by the way, some of us are sometimes misled by quantity instead of quality. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm keeping 9, that is more than 1. And we don't emphasize the one that is missing. We say, I'm doing enough. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who kept the commandments of God and maintained the testimony of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to scare you, but don't be surprised that if you leave your faith, if you are really a Christian, because a Christian is not somebody who goes to church every week. A Christian is the one who walks like Christ. That is a Christian. And believe me, Christ did not go to church on Sunday. I mean, with the intent to make Sunday holy, you know what I mean. He went to the temple. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, some of you may know another concept for 10 is the 10%, the tithe. Is it okay to give 9% instead of a 10? Is it maybe a fifth? Is the same concept. God did not ask us to say, oh, it's 10, but if you give only 3, it's fine. 10 is 10. And I like to say to you, brothers and sisters, don't compromise with your faith. It's too much at risk. Eternal life is too much to give up. Are you glad that you are alive today?
Yes.
Would you be much happier if you can guarantee that you will be alive forever?
Amen.
And by the way, I have a good news for you. If you look in a mirror and you are shocked a little bit with what you see, don't give up, because God has a wonderful surprise for you. The Bible says when He comes, in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to be as good looking as Eve was when she came out of the ribs of Adam. You're going to be perfect. You're not going to be this tall. Boy, you're going to be tall. You're not going to be extra belly or some some reserves that you may have. It's back. It's going to be back. This is going to be gone. Gone forever. We all going to be at the same age, the age of perfection.
Amen.
Forever. If you have a coin missing, clean the house. Use the Bible, because the lamp that the woman used is the Bible. Use the Bible. Wipe out all the dirt that is coming through the windows to the doors. Clean the house. Find that coin. You will not see the groom unless you have 10 coins.
Amen.
The groom will not come to those that are a compromise, to those that are in love with Babylon. Come out, my people, come out of her, or you're going to be destroyed as she is going to be destroyed. She is part of destruction, and she is going to be doomed by destruction. Brothers and sisters, think. There is no other way but the way, the truth, and life.
Amen.
Embrace Him. Make sure that you count the coins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes, young man, 10. Unless you have 10, You won't make it. Make sure that you have all 10. God bless you and all of us.
Amen. When